Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
B. Mitch and Finley, Steve Zabin sitting in for J.P. Finley. Brian clearly could not get to sleep last night because he decided to watch the Wizards.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
You know, it's strange. So in the first quarter, they were down only by five.
Okay.
And they were playing tough. Uh-huh. That second quarter rolled around. And I think they went into halftime, it was 60-something to like 40.
Okay.
But then they end up losing by, what, 8-9 points? You know, they were down by almost 20-something points in the second, going into halftime.
Right.
And they basically came back and they outscored Dallas.
Yeah.
They outscored them in the third and the fourth. So they played much better. But listen, man. They are doing exactly what they set out to do.
They play the young guys.
They playing the young guys. The young guys are getting experience. You see a lot of these guys that can play. Keyshawn or Keyshawn, whatever it is, he can play.
Yeah.
I love Bub from Baltimore.
Right.
I really, really love him. And the kid, the three-point dude, shooter, got drafted this year. God, I can't think of his name right now. I lost his name. Trey.
Yes.
Those guys are going to be around and be doing things for a long time.
No, like the Wizards have been so bad for so long that it's hard as a native to ever feel like they're ever going to be good.
Uh-huh.
But the example, and we'll ask Dan Devine when he joins us here momentarily on the Rude Guest Hotline. I guess we're still efforting Dan Devine.
Yep.
But the model is the Pistons, because somebody pointed out the Pistons 3 years ago were atrocious. I forget what their number was, but it was really, really bad, their record. You could look that up. So they have done the thing where they've thrown a lot of good young talent at the situation, mm-hmm. and now they've got something going on.
Yeah.
That would be the model to look at.
Yeah. And look, man, I went to a game last year, and it happened to be the game where I think they were doing this stuff I can't remember the exact game.
Like, if one of our guys can be Cade Cunningham, that's the key.
Bub Carrington was cooking.
Yeah.
Get to the fourth quarter, I'm like, why the hell is Bub sitting down? He wasn't hurt or nothing. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Questioning Brian Keefe's rotations?
I'm not questioning. I know what they said. They said, we are going to rebuild. They never used the word tank, but they said, we're going to rebuild.
Right.
So what they're doing, they're getting young talent. And they also want to make sure that they get better talent because they want to make sure they're going to be getting one of those draft picks.
Sure.
One of them high.
Yeah, they need to make sure they don't finish worse than eighth, which I think is a lock at this point at 1-13, because I haven't run the pace numbers again since I did a couple weeks ago. They're easily on pace right now for the worst record in NBA history.
Yeah.
Which but is the 9-7.
What I hate about it, it doesn't guarantee you getting that number one pick.
No, I it doesn't, and I hate that. And also getting the number one pick doesn't guarantee he's going to be really a difference maker or a game changer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we'll see about that. But I did see the first inklings of, is Brian Keefe's job in jeopardy? And I'm like, no, it better not be. He should be getting a raise with
each
loss.
He's doing exactly what they want.
He should be getting, like, every loss they should go, here's another $5,000. Thanks. Keep it up. Keep it going, coach. Look, you're doing a good job here.
The guys are being developed. The guys are getting better. You know, I listened to Chris and also, oh, man, who calls it with Chris? Former player, tall.
You put me on the Glenn Conter.
No, not Glenn.
Oh, okay.
This dude played, he played with the Wizards at one point. But anyway,
okay.
They entertain the hell out of you. They have shows all around it. And I'm sure their jobs are hard as hell when people know this team is not trying to win. They're not going to win. They're trying to get better. They're trying to get the young guys better. And I think if you are a true fan and you understand how this thing works, you can buy into it.
Okay.
But if you're going to see wins, you're going to the wrong damn game. It's point blank.
Okay. Let me just get the pace number here. What is the pace going to Grok here at 1-13? What is the pace for the Wizards this season? Do you use AI, Brian Mitchell?
Nah, not much.
It's a wild ride.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you can have conversations.
They've been giving me a lot of wrong answers the first time I tried, so I kind of backed off of it.
They are projected to go 6-76, and I'll take it. You know what? I'll take it. This is a year to be a basketball junkie watching this team, to watch young players develop. It's not a year to be excited about, yay, we won. That's not a this year thing. That's a next year thing. Okay, Dan Devine joins us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Let me get the read here for the Rude Guest Hotline. The most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Dan, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Good.
Appreciate
you. Dan's been covering the league for quite a while now, and he also contributes to the Big Number on Yahoo Sports TV. Okay, so we just went through what the Wizards are doing, and both Brian and I agree that losing is good at this point. Would you concur with that? Is there such a thing, Dan, as too much losing for a young group of players?
I think that's a really good question. And I think part of it is just, it's like, what habits do you develop, right? In in the NFL, we talk about, you know, quarterbacks kind of developing scar tissue if they get sacked too much as rookies, right? You know, you don't want them to develop bad habits or start seeing ghosts out there. So the concern would be, if you're not developing winning habits as a rookie, like, yeah, you can be bad, but are you turning the ball over every like fourth possession? Are you awful on at getting back in transition defense? Do you not follow the rules? Are there even rules to follow as far as what your possessions need to look like? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. And I will say the Wizards are kind of an interesting study in contrast in that, because you do see individual player improvement, right? Like, you know, Keyshawn George has been really exciting as the way that he's come on as a facilitator and with his jump shot. Alex Saar, you know, big jump in year two. Bilal Coulibaly had a couple of great drives last night against the Timberwolves. You know, you see exciting stuff, and then you look at like the overarching metrics of, oh yeah, this is one of the worst turnover teams in the league. This is one of maybe the worst transition defense team in the league. They had a stretch. I think that the game was basically lost against Minnesota. They had like a 6-minute scoreless stretch, which is hard to do, to just not even fall into a free throw for 6 minutes against an NBA defense. And so like you look at it and say, I do think some guys are getting better, but this doesn't feel like a team with an identity or a structure yet. And I think, you know, the point you made as I was waiting to come on is, I think, right, like, that's not a huge issue right now. That, yeah. Like, you know, the idea of, do we know exactly what, the next competitive iteration of the Wizards is going to feel like? Like, not even who's going to be on it, but what kinds of shots do you want to get? What sort of defensive tactics are you trying to play? Like, I think all of that is really sort of amorphous and up in the air right now. And so, yeah, I think there's a concern that if you don't like have a blueprint for where you want to get, you might not wind up getting anywhere. But in the short term right now, I think you just need to look at it and say, well, are these individual players showing things? And I think there's in a handful of cases, the answer is yes.
Well, I saw the game last night, and the second quarter was atrocious for them. But they got into the second half, and they basically played some very good basketball, much better than it did in that second quarter. You know, is that enough? Because when you see all of these young guys, you understand, oh, they can grow together. But in the NBA, you need some level of experience to be helping you out.
Absolutely, and I think that was the thought process behind bringing in Chris Middleton and CJ McCollum, right? Or really, at least part of it. Part of it is also, let's get off longer-term money in favor of shorter-term money, and then when we get to the offseason, we'll have all sorts of cap space to be able to figure out what we do next with. And, you know, we didn't think that Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole were going to be part of that next competitive iteration of the Wizards, so might as well just wipe the money off and see where we go. But that's the idea. Like, Chris Middleton, three-time All-Star, guy who's won a title, CJ McCollum, you know, scored 20 points a game for a decade, you know, a respected vet, has played in big playoff games. They're supposed to be the ones sort of showing the younger guys how to move and how to develop those championship caliber habits, or even those starting caliber habits. And I think the hope is that over time, you know, over the course of a longer season, that stuff will start to bear fruit. And the flashes, as you said, like, you had a competitive second half there where you get down to, I think it was within 5 or 6 points in the final 3 minutes. Like, that's now the lesson to be learned there is don't go down by 27 in the second quarter.
if you
can avoid that. But the fact that even when, like, I mean, I'm taking notes as I'm watching the game, knowing I'm talking to you guys today, and I'm saying like, oh, the game's over. It's like 5 minutes left in the second quarter. This one's a wrap. And the fact that they didn't play that way and came out and continued to attack and continued to work their stuff, that speaks to, like, you know, I understand fan frustration saying, like, is Brian Keefe the guy? I don't know for sure if he is or he is, if he isn't, but they kept playing. They didn't just, like, throw the ball out into the stands and lay down on the court. And that speaks to a team that I think still has is, like, listening to some degree and has some buy-in for what they're trying to get accomplished. So I think that there's something positive to be taken from even a loss like that, especially coming off the heels of such a dispiriting loss like the one to the Nets, where you're like, you get blown out at home by another bad team. You go out on the road against a good team and you get down big. You don't just lay an egg. You come back and fight. I think you can build on something like that, especially, I mean, you don't have Alex Sarr. You get good minutes from Marvin Bagley. Like, you get really good minutes from Keyshawn George. Trey Johnson flashed a little bit. Like, there was stuff to get excited about there. You just got to, you know, tighten it up a little bit in the second quarter. And maybe you're not just, like, in it late, but you're actually winning one of those games. Imagine that.
All right. What do you make of my thought that the model for the Wizards should be the Pistons? The Pistons were 14-68 2 years ago. They're out to a 13-2 start. Is what they're doing now sustainable? And what does that turnaround look like in terms of what Washington has?
Yeah, with Washington, with Detroit, the thing was they got, you know, they landed the big fish when they get Cade Cunningham, right? And the first couple of seasons of developing around him, they also had a super young big man in Jalen Duren. And there's that thing of, it's just really hard for young, it's like, you know, 18, 19-year-old centers and point guards to learn the game. And that's where it took some time for those guys to kind of bake a little bit and develop their skill sets.
So if Sarr is our big man, who could be the Cunningham of the young guys currently on the Wiz?
Yeah, I think there's two options. One is it's not here yet, and, you know, we'll see what the options are looking like at the top of the next draft. And the other one, I think you've got to be pretty excited about what you've seen from Keyshawn George, where, like, you sort of squint and you look at it and say, you know, 6'7", 6'8", ball handler, guy who doesn't get sped up a ton, guy who's able to, you know, get to his pull-up jumper, has good patience and poise in the pick and roll. He doesn't have the same kind of court vision that Cunningham has. I mean, Cunningham was drawn in his prep days and coming out of Oklahoma State, he's drawing comps to Luka. I don't think we're seeing that from Keyshawn George just yet. So, you know, people haven't tipped him as that kind of prospect. But I also don't think anybody saw the kind of jump in, not just like the numbers, because, you know, you get more minutes, you get a chance to take shots on a bad team, you're going to put up numbers. But the way he's playing does feel conducive to, like, oh, that's a big wing ball handler, a guy you can throw, give a bunch of possessions and say, yeah, run 30, 40 pick and rolls, and let's see if you can facilitate and find these opportunities for other guys while also getting your own game off. So I think the ceiling for what you could expect from Keyshawn George has risen considerably over the course of this season. And then if you get, you know, even if he doesn't reach quite to that level, I mean, we're talking now, Cade Cunningham is putting himself in like fringe MVP all NBA conversations, right? Mm. That would be obviously a wonderful outcome. But if you got a couple of guys that you feel good about their trajectory, then it's about, you know, what's the high ceiling talent around them. And with Detroit, they took off not just when those guys came of age a little bit, but also when they put more shooting around Cade Cunningham. That was the idea. Can we have a, you know, run the battery of this pick and roll, but we have to have shooters out there, veterans that can actually knock down the shots that our guy creates for when they brought in Tobias Harris, they brought in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Malik Beasley, and those guys opened up the floor more for Cade, and then all of a sudden you see his game hit a new level. So the early stage development is get the ball handler, get the big man, and then what are you going to put around them in terms of competitive pieces that can spread the floor and knock down those shots you create? And that might be another year or two down the line. Obviously, I think $85 million or $100 million in cap space they could wind up having this summer. Damn. To facilitate trades. And we'll see from there. But I think that's the idea, is put yourself in position with those guys and then spread the floor, bring in the vets, and see where you can get to.
All right, one last quick one, Dan, about non-Wizards story, and that is I was fascinated by the Tim McMahon ESPN.com story, Inside the Mavericks Power Struggle, Nico Harrison versus Mark Cuban. Don't know if you've had time to look at it or read it. It's a long piece, but it blew me away, a lot of the elements of it, about how it unraveled so badly. And now there's rumors they're going to be ready to shop Anthony Davis. And I'm like, wow, imagine that. Because they're probably not going to get much back that's sexy for Anthony Davis, who's still chronically injured. But imagine the small pieces that would be left less than a year after the trade that stunned everybody.
Yeah, I did have a chance to read that. It was a fascinating piece of reporting. And McMahon's as plugged in down there as anybody.
He's good.
I think it's really fascinating, too, like in the aftermath of that. So right in that story, you've got sources close to the situation saying they are going to shop Anthony Davis before the trade deadline. And then a couple of hours later, you have Joe Barton at The Athletic saying, I talked to Cuban and he says we're not trading him.
Yeah, he doesn't want
him. I saw that, yeah. Right. But you know, the fact that pushback came so quick kind of tells me that, yeah, the phone is available if somebody wants to make an offer.
Right, yeah. It didn't say it's not going to happen. It says we're not going to try. Yeah, if somebody tries to come over our way, that's maybe a different conversation. Yeah, I think it is kind of incredible to think that the outlook on this team, I mean, we are, what is it, like 16 months removed from them being in the finals? We're 9 months removed from the Luka trade. And the whole idea was we're going to give ourselves a 3-4 year window with this AD Kyrie build. And it's just, you know, the injuries completely submarine that. And then it just got to be such a toxic dynamic there where the fans were like an open revolt against Nico Harrison. The ownership says, all right, we got to just turn the page on this however we can. Step one is you exercise Nico Harrison from the building. And I think that's really fascinating. Is step two, we just need to put this trade behind us any way we can and move AD for whatever we can get, even understanding it's probably not going to be a premium given his age and his injury situation and the fact that he's up for a new extension. So there's some really big questions that Dallas needs to answer, but they're looking at it and saying our best bet is probably retool everything around the 18-year-old. We just drafted number one overall. This coming draft cycle is the last time we have full control of our first-round pick until 2031. So we got to hit a home run today to give ourselves the runway to build something new. And I think it's reasonable to say step one there might be see what we can get from Anthony Davis.
All right. Dan, as always, a pleasure, my friend. And we will talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Take care.
And of mine, Yahoo Sports talking NBA. I don't know if you read the piece or not. It's long. But basically, here's the thing that blew me away. Cuban sells the Mavericks, his absolute love. He's a basketball junkie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sells the Mavericks because he said he didn't want to feel the pressure of being a middle-class billionaire trying to finance a perennial contender. And I just was like, really? You're not rich enough to finance an NBA contender. But apparently that was his rationale. So he sells his baby, the thing he loves the most. I mean, the guy he used to be able to take, you know, shoot arounds on the court as the owner of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
sells the team, but then is assured by this guy, Patrick Dumont, the new governor, that he'll still run the basketball side of things. But he didn't get it in writing. Nothing said in any contract or any language, you're still running basketball. It was just a promise. Yeah. Well, lo and behold, B. Mitch, new owner, new ideas. Do you think you're really going to buy a team for that much money and then
and
say,
let somebody else
let
run
somebody
it?
Else run it? No.
No.
Like, for being a smart guy who's a billionaire, Cuban is an idiot sometimes.
That was the dumbest thing he could have done.
Right. So then Nico starts to conspire against Cuban, and Nico gets hot with these trades down the stretch 2 years ago that landed them in the finals, so he has all this power. So he cuts Cuban out of the sort of three-way conversation with him and Dumont, the new governor, and he works on the new guy, Dumont, who is new to the NBA, and he sold him a bill of goods. He sold him this trade of Luka, which blew everyone away. The dumbest trade ever. Yeah. Indefensible trade. He's out of shape. Get him in shape.
Yeah.
He doesn't play defense. Get somebody else to play defense. He's a scorer. What are you doing? All right, coming up, we'll get to that Redskins sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Getting that Commanders RX for the rest of the year. B. Mitch will tell us what needs to happen, what would be nice to happen, and what can't happen the rest of the way. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is this a regular rejoin landfill, some Nina with 99 red balloons or Luftballons?
You know, they've been doing some things in here that have screwed stuff up, so I'm just going alphabetically from the start, and numbers listed at the front.
Go ahead of that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, the fun game would be to guess what's next up, just thinking about number-related songs.
I bet you could probably guess the next one.
Is it 867-5309, Jenny?
It's not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the only another song that came into my mind right now. All right, we're back. JP is out this today and tomorrow. I am filling in. El Baldo, they call me. B. Mitch is the king of the good-looking shaved head. Just a good-looking peanut. Big one. Sizable, but good-looking.
Please don't size his head like that, Zay.
No.
Yeah, don't
Walker,
size his head like that.
Because he gets all excited about it?
Yeah.
Gets all proud of
his
it?
His head already big. It's not going to be able to fit through the door if you tell him that.
Zay, you didn't hear me say one word.
No, you didn't.
See,
but he preemptively,
when the
Walker preemptively
when the haters,
jumped in front
when
of
when
him.
The haters jump in, It just lets you know what you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know
so I'm a mean? Professional hater.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. So how much and when should Jaden Daniels play the rest of the year?
If he's healthy, I believe he should get out there and play. And this is my assessment. I know the new fan base. You know, I've said this here a few years ago. We were still working in the same thing together. I said, would you want to just put everybody in some damn bubble wrap?
Yeah.
This is football, okay? And, yes, the season is not going how you expect it to go, but Jaden is not where you want him to be either.
Agreed.
And I think the experience he can get and, you know, also if you're a coordinator, you got to learn how to protect him better, okay? And find out what you have and what you can do going forward. I know people always say, oh, yeah, he shouldn't play. Just rest him. You lose stuff when you don't play. You know, I never believed you learn football sitting down and watching somebody else do it. I believe you learn football by going through it. And, you know, the whole thing of it, this is a league where you can't be scared. You know, the elbow, that was a freak accident. That if he gets thrown like that 25 more times, nothing will happen. The hamstring, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, the way he got hit on his knee was a direct hit to the knee. Those guys were trying to hurt him. They were going low. They were doing all kind of little things in that Green Bay game. You know, I'm watching it. I'm checking them out. They were trying. Because when you get hyped in this league, and I think that's something he's going to learn. When you're hyped in this league.
Oh, boy.
Guys come at you.
Yeah.
You know, hell, I dealt with it as a return guy. Oh, Bree Mitchell's a return guy. They were hitting late and everything else.
Right.
You got to figure out how to protect yourself and do a little different things. But just to think that, and most fans believe the player can just turn on the switch and just do whatever he wants whenever he wants. That doesn't work. You got to build into that. You got to know that. If that was the case, Mikey Sanders would have known exactly what to do on that punt. He didn't.
He would have had more experience. Because
he didn't have the experience doing it. And I think Jaden needs some level of experience. You got to also have a conversation with him.
Right. What's tricky is you say if healthy he should play.
Mm-hmm.
He could probably play right now in pain, shot up with that non-throwing elbow, and just limit his game to make sure that he's okay. So it's a sliding scale. You know, you always say if healthy you should play.
If healthy you play now.
It's
when
not
I say if
one
healthy
or a zero or yes or a no.
If
it's
healthy without having something to be able to put you out there. Because I've always felt if I have to get shot up enough to where I don't feel something to play, that's going to get me hurt more.
I would agree.
So
what if he wore a giant brace on that elbow?
If he wore a brace, but I think
is that okay?
The pain threshold
right.
is what it's going to come down to.
Right.
And Jaden is young enough where he may not be in as much pain as you or I would be.
Right.
Or somebody that's in their 30s or,
right.
you know, 10th year or something like that. But if he has to get shot up to a point where he can't feel it, no, I don't think you put him out there.
So
because
it's weak.
I'm not going. You notice I didn't say if he's 100% because ain't nobody.
There's 100%. Nobody
100%. Once you play your first NFL game, you'll never see 100% the rest of your life.
Yeah, right. So, as soon as you take the first bad hit, something's wrong.
Totally.
Something's going to feel wrong. It's week 18.
Yeah.
They're at Philadelphia. It's cold as you know what. Philly is trying to gun to actually close out the number one seed, which they may have to do, because mm-hmm. the Rams are going to be on their ass, I think, all the way to the very end. You're telling me you want Jaden Daniels playing 60 minutes in week 18 at Philadelphia?
If he's been playing, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Wow. See,
I at that point, I'd be so nervous because the ACL monster can strike at any time.
ACL monster happened in practice. The ACL monster happened walking down the stairs.
Oh, okay. Come on now.
It's
a little more risky in an NFL game.
But you are I hear fans so often saying things like you're saying and saying like, don't play him. But then as soon as that player gets into a mindset of, well, I'm going to just chill. Oh, I can't stand. He gets paid to play football. You can't have your cake and eat
well,
it too.
Some fans, the fans that say that are idiots. They don't get it.
I understand he's very important to the future of this franchise. And if you have people on the field that are not the ones that can protect him and block for him that he needs.
Right.
No, you don't play him. But if you have, let's say you have all five of the guys that started the season on offensive line, and they are all healthy and ready to go, why wouldn't he be able to play?
Right, but they won't. That's the thing. They won't have a great offensive line, and who knows what wide receivers.
They got the same people that they were starting the season with.
Okay, but wide receivers-wise and running back-wise, who knows where we're going to be by week 18. I just think that if you say it could happen at any time, the ACL monster, then why aren't guys like him playing more in August? When it could be more beneficial,
because
closer to the start of the season when you're working on installs and everything else.
The reason
else.
They're not playing in August is because people that don't play football and have played football making rules. You have ownership and front offices making all these rules. Ownership and front office are looking at the fact that we don't want them to get hurt in preseason. It don't mean anything. You've never heard me say preseason don't mean anything. As a former player, let me tell you one thing.
You believe it means something.
It may not mean nothing to the guy that's been his 15th year
sure.
who already has his money.
Right.
But even he knows that he needs to get his timing down.
Right.
And you lose the lack of it when you're not out there playing.
Now, the downside of playing more in August is that you're playing against half NFL teams, half guys who will not make it out of camp. So you're not playing against actual full NFL teams, so you're not getting as much of a test if you're a quarterback like Daniels.
But if you don't play at all, you get no test.
I know, but just hear me out here. Not only that, but there's no scheming or game planning or anything else, so you're also not going against the best looks. What Daniels, if he can not get hurt the rest of the way once he starts to play again, what he'll get is live fire, actual schemed game plan defenses with all NFL players, and that has value.
Yeah.
That has value to practice against that at 100% speed, not 90% in August.
I agree with you. But see, this is where my different opinion comes. Back in the day when I played and when people right after I played, right before me, guys played one quarter in their first game.
Two quarters
in the second.
Two in
the second.
Three in the third. And then they had the fourth off.
They saw closer to being in a whole football game.
Right.
And the speed ramped up. And you did go against schemes and things of that nature. In this day and age, they don't play a whole quarter in the whole damn preseason.
I know.
And then you step into the first game. You're old enough to know it, Zane. When you were young and your mom and dad bought a car, didn't the car have a ramp-up period?
Mm-hmm.
Told you,
don't take it over
60. Don't go over 60 until you get this tire broken in. What we do now is we don't even get close to 20 in preseason.
And then
we throw them in regular season, and we expect everybody to go 100.
Yeah.
How many injuries you're seeing now compared to 90, 91, 95, 2000? How many more injuries you see in the first 2-3 weeks of the season now? It's way up, right?
Is it up?
I would
want to see the data.
I would love to see it.
I guarantee it's up,
and I'll tell you why. Just like I go back to the little Mikey thing. You learn how to take hits and deliver hits in preseason. You don't normally tackle at all until you get into the games.
Right.
And if the starters aren't playing, they don't get tackled until all of the best players are out there.
You are making a compelling argument. However, the trend, B. Mitch, is running away from you at every team in the league. It started with McVay in L.A. He went a whole August not playing anybody.
True.
And now more and more and more and more teams are like, you know what? I'll have what he's having.
Your compelling argument,
and I've heard this from other former players, is actually getting routed by experience as to what the teams are doing. Maybe one team will have the balls to say, we're going to go the opposite way.
You know who was doing it? Andy Reid was playing Pat Mahomes.
That is true.
And he's been doing it for years. And I understand.
Brady played a lot in August, too.
I understand what McVay did in that one year. He had a lot of veteran players, and it hit for him. Just like we had a lot of veteran players last year, and it hit for us.
Right.
What happened this year when we got rid of a lot of them players and brought in the other people? And I would say this. There are 10 Super Bowls between the two guys you just named that play a lot of it in the preseason. I could give a damn about the other people that did it and didn't win, and they won one or didn't go to any at all. The Patriots.
Yeah.
And the Kansas City Chiefs have seen more Super Bowls. They saw how many? The Patriots went to 10, 11. The Chiefs went to 5.
Yeah.
4 or 5 in the last 8 years.
But they each had the quarterback. That's the thing.
They do. And those quarterbacks played in preseason.
I know.
But we don't.
They weren't as risk-taking as perhaps Daniels. Mahomes.
I think Mahomes is as risk-taking as anybody out there.
But he's pretty crafty.
And he plays when he's hurt.
I know. And it's hard to get a good clean lick on him. Because trust me, I watch their games and want him to get blown up. And yeah, it's hard.
But it's just, listen, man. Eventually, people are going to have to play.
Okay.
Can't save them.
Next question. Do the wins and losses matter for the final six?
Like, yes.
Do you want them to? Okay, what is an acceptable number of wins? Let me walk you through the schedule. Denver on Sunday night, a week from this Sunday, at Minnesota, at New York, home against Philly, home against Dallas, at Philly. How many wins in there? Two? What's par? I'll talk golf to you. What's par for these last six holes? Two wins?
Six left?
Yeah. I think it might be three.
2 to 3.
Minnesota is really struggling with McCarthy right now. It's not good. New York obviously has collapsed, but they almost beat the Packers last week. And then Dallas, we all know about Dallas. So there's possibly three wins. 3-3 would make you feel a lot better about the season, wouldn't it?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
It won't change anything.
It won't.
It'll knock you down a few spots.
It may make you a little better.
Do you believe in tanking for the draft? Like, no. You know what? I'd love to lose all six.
No.
Okay. No. Last question. Do you think that Quinn's defensive play calling was truly better than Witt's?
Get it on our way back.
Okay. We'll do that on the way back?
Yeah.
You want to take some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Thoughts about what's left of this season and the pros and cons of playing your franchise QB when he's not quite 100%.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, it's Brian Mitch here. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because with FanDuel's Thursday's Touchdown Jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel, official sports book of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Must apply a profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
TMZ just tweeted that Oscar winner Kevin Spacey claims he's homeless now.
What?
B. Mitch. Yes, Kevin Spacey claims he's homeless. I need to read the story to find out more.
Did he get sued? Did he lose some money in a bad investment?
All the
money he had, he shouldn't lose a lot.
Well, he had a lot of accusations against him.
Yeah.
So just leave it at that. But anyway, B. Mitch and Finley here. Zabe's sitting in for JP, who's out. And we got phone lines lit. Let's talk some Commanders. Let's talk some Jaden Daniels. How much should he play and why? We'll start with Mike in Fairfax. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I just love the show as always and appreciate the topic. So I'm with Brian 100%, man. You can't bubble wrap the guy. And you guys, you have seen how he plays when he doesn't get the reps. I think it was a huge mistake that he didn't play preseason because he doesn't look sharp. He's overthrowing. He's underthrowing. He's running when he shouldn't. He looks like a deer in the headlights. He needs to play. So I'm with you guys 100%. And also, we definitely need a couple of wins, right, for the rest of the season, without question. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it, man.
A six-game skid on top of the current skid to end the year would put a pall over everything and get a lot of people fired.
Yeah.
So you know the building will be on edge for sure if they don't at least get a win. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. You are next up on B. Mitch and Finley. Hello, Elijah.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I'm trying to put this together like a math equation. You can put, you know, addition, multiplication, whatever you want in between. But I'm thinking style of play plus lack of consistency at the skill position. You can, and whatever this equals can be what it equals for you. But plus him not having an opportunity to be able to be out there to understand the nuances of what this looks like for the new guy that's coming into the lineup. I just think I would love for him to play, but I just need to make sure that we're still taking care of the franchise. And it's not just him. And if he can go out there and they can have success, are they going to adjust the offense? Are they going to continue to live in shotgun? Is he going to have to – what is going to be the actual plan if he is out
these
there?
These are all great questions. You're adding up all the complicating and conflicting inputs and all the values, right? This is a complicated formula of, well, how much should he play and why, right?
Yeah. So what is the end goal? Because I heard Gruden, who I love, man, he was like, you want to put everybody on notice, but we're going to put – people on notice for guys who may not be on the roster next year.
Yeah,
this is I'll ask you this question, Elijah.
I don't know
many people that go through a season and throw to the same people all the time. So you have to adjust if a new person comes into it, right?
Well, but you want to have one or two guys that are consistent.
So Terry may be back,
right?
And now you have, I think you have a legitimate backfield who you can ride on and do stuff out of that. I always hear people like, well, who he's going to throw the ball to? He's running to professional athletes. Find a way to scheme them up. Throw the ball down the field. Don't just have the guys running short routes because now you're playing into the hands of the defense.
Okay.
For me, I have seen guys play with a depleted offense.
All right, one more.
They still got to play.
One more real quick before we head out for the hour. Cairo in Ashburn, you're next up. Hello, Cairo.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
I think you got to play him. I think you got to play him, and you got to see what you got on this roster. Like, you know, maybe someone like Treylon Burks or Jacoby Jones looks like real, you know, pieces to the team next season. I think all the talk of like, oh, sit him, you know, oh, you got to worry about this. It's like, you know, if you coach scared, he's going to play scared. So you got to get him confident. You got to create context, you know, and in a playoff push, you know, maybe you scramble and try to get those extra yards. in a season like this, like, hey, seven-step drop back. If it ain't there, throw it away. Like, you cannot – you have to protect yourself, and he has to learn to be able to do that. So that way next season when it's, like, first or second quarter and he takes, like, a drop back and instead of scrambling when it's, like, you know, maybe a one-score game, he can be like, all right, I'm going to throw this away. But then in the crunch time, you know, trust on your ability. You know, get those extra yards. Put yourself in harm's way, especially if it's for a Super Bowl. But if it's something like this, you know, protect yourself. Learn to – you know, give a little instead of always trying to, like, push for more.
All right, fair enough.
The more situations you're in, the better equipped you are.
All right, to be continued, there's a lot of calls on hold. If you want to stick through the break, we'll pick you up on the other side of it. And then I've waited, B. Mitch, as long as I could. I have been ants in the pants dying to get into the Belichick, Jordan Hudson, adult co-ed cheerleading story. It is a doozy. I'll ask the question, what is the most humiliating thing you've done for a girl once upon a time? Think about that. We'll get into it next hour. Hour three of B. Mitch and Finley coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.